I'd like to welcome this morning some of our teen ladies who are going to tell us about prophetesses.
Okay, so today, the youth group, we're going to do the women prophets, the prophetesses. And I have Miriam. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the Nile, or the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." What this passage shows is that Miriam is very brave, and she thinks very quick on her feet, because it definitely wasn't planned for Pharaoh's daughter to find Moses. So whenever she did find her, and she very quickly asked Pharaoh's daughter if she wanted her to find a Hebrew woman. So, yeah. Okay, next one. Around 80 years later or so, when the Hebrews were escaping from Pharaoh, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." This passage shows that she was a leader and that she was very well respected, especially if all of the women followed her into the sea. A bit later on, Miriam and Aaron also began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words." Thank you. "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions, but I speak to them in dreams. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned to her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "God, please heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. Even though Miriam had questioned God and had gone against what he did, God saw into her heart and he forgave her. And this one was written hundreds of years later by the prophet of Micah, and the I means God, in case you didn't know. I brought you out of Egypt, and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. This one shows how highly God thinks of not only Moses, but Aaron and Miriam, if he is mentioning them along with Moses.
I love them. I have the prophet Deborah. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan. Sisera was the commander of his army. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah in the hill country, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She went for Barak and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troop to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. When Sisera heard that Barak had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army, and all of Sisera's troop fell by the sword. Not a man was left. On that day, Deborah and Barak sang this song. "When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song." So Deborah was a prophet who must have been really highly respected because all the Israelites went to her for help, and she gave Barak the message from God. Barak wouldn't go without Deborah because even though he knew he wouldn't get any honor if she went with him, so that means he must have trusted her and trusted that she was with God. After the Israelites won the battle, everyone, instead of taking credit for themselves, they recognized God and praised him for the win.
I have Huldah, and so just so you know, like, what's going on in this story, it starts out, it's in Judah, and the temple is a big mess, and the new king is having it cleaned up. So Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought up into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people." Hilkiah the high priest said to the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to the secretary, who read it. Then the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors at the temple." Then the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book," and he read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, the secretary, and the king's attendant. "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us."
Hilkiah the priest, the secretary, and the attendant went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord says. The God of Israel says, tell the man who sent you to me. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be burned in peace, buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. So you can see by them taking what they've learned to Huldah and asking her for her opinion and everything, and for to hear what God has said, that shows that Huldah was respected and trusted by the Lord and by the people. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went back to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Like how Josiah listened to God speaking and repented, we should also listen when we hear God speaking and do what he says.
Mine isn't just one story, it's lots of different ones. The next woman prophet is Isaiah's wife. Isaiah said, "Then I went to my wife, the woman prophet." I guess it was really important to God, so he mentioned that she was a prophet, because they were a team. Then there's Noadiah. Before I read the story, you have to remember that before this, the Israelites had been captive in Babylon for 70 years. But when they finally returned, they had to rebuild their wall. But the prophets tried to resist and used Noadiah to stop them. "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me." So the wall was completed in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. So the lesson is that not all prophets are for what God wants. These verses were hundreds of years later, around the time of Jesus' birth. Anna, a prophetess, was there at the temple. She was now very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years, before he died and left her alone. She was now 84 years old. Anna was always at the temple. She never left. She worshiped God by fasting and praying day and night. Anna was there when Joseph and Mary came to the temple. She praised God and talked about Jesus to all those who were waiting for God to free Jerusalem. Anna here waited for years to see Mary and Joseph, and afterwards still praised God and told everybody about Jesus. A long time before this next verse, it was prophesied that girls would teach. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." This is now Paul talking. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So even young girls can be used by God.
Miriam was a strong and brave leader.
Deborah was Very trusted and respected by God and the Israelites.
Huldah was respected by God and by all the people.
The prophets could be young, old, or even youth, partners with their husbands.